The idea that we can get everything from our marriages, the idea that the individual family unit and that a marriage is this perfect unit, puts this undue amount of pressure on the family to be and to achieve everything for us. And I think that the more we put this pressure on the family to be and achieve and do everything for us, the more unhappy we become.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Startup Parent Podcast. This is the show where we get to talk to working parents, entrepreneurs, and business leaders about what it looks like to raise kids while also building companies. If you're in the thick of it with your career or your business and you've got little ones at home, then you are in the right place. I'm your host, Sarah K. Peck. One of the hardest things about being a CEO or being a manager or a leader is finding and carving out space to think. That is one of the reasons why I made the Wise Women's Council. Twice a month, we bring wise, vetted experts in to support you in your leadership development. Our core business trainings help CEOs and leaders make complex decisions more easily, learn how to say no, learn how to ask for help, and build a life and a business based on whole person leadership principles. Our leadership sessions support you in deepening your own internal wisdom, building at your personal growth edges, and improving your stamina and energy reserves. It's called the Wise Women's Council. We've been running it for 6 years now, and we open only twice a year for enrollments, once in the spring and once in the fall. If you want to find out more about this program and what people have to say about it, head over to startupparent.com/WWC.
Today, we're on core value number two, which is all about the power of community in your life. There is deep power in community and collaboration. By and large, we aren't meant to go it alone. There's this myth of and this belief in individualism in Western society, and it's pretty pervasive. And we believe that we are meant to live and work and raise families and grow businesses together. We aren't born to live alone, and we're not meant to parent alone either. And here, we really want to focus on unpacking the belief that we are a social and a communal species. And for us, that translates across our startup worlds, our business worlds, our parenting worlds, and our pregnancy worlds. And how we build and embrace these communities of support across all of these experiences is really important. We believe that we need teams and we need diverse communities. And especially whenever we're at the beginning of an adventure, which is by definition, startups and pregnancy are both kind of the beginning of these adventures, we need lots and lots of support. And yet what we see and what we've heard in listening to so many of these interviews is that there's an outsized burden on parents, especially on mothers, but on parents in general, to try to somehow do it all and be everything to everybody. And frankly, that's an impossible goal. And that's something that sets us all up for failure. So today on this show, we're going to unpack it a little bit and start to tease out why that's such a weird idea and where it came from, and then what our thoughts are for why we believe so much in this value and where we need to go next. So today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about a couple of ideas that really helped me develop this philosophy. First, I want to bring in the amazing Krista Tippett. So Krista Tippett hosts the show On Being, and she's written a number of books, and she's just an outstanding interviewer. And in her book, Becoming Wise, she has this one short sentence that blew me away. I mean, most of her sentences in that book blew me away, I'll be honest. But one of the sentences, she says, the nuclear family, and then she pauses and she said, it's kind of weird that we call families nuclear. And that just bowled me over. Like, why are we calling nuclear families nuclear? Like, this tiny, explosive, powerful, contained force? What does that even mean? So from this, the idea that we can get everything from our marriages, the idea that the individual family unit and that a marriage is this perfect unit, puts this undue amount of pressure on the family to be and to achieve everything for us. And I think that the more we put this pressure on the family to be and achieve and do everything for us, the more unhappy we become. It's not actually possible for one, two, or three other people in that tiny little nuclear family to satisfy everything for us. And as we're witnessing the breakdown to some extent of extended families and people not living close together anymore or not having children living in the same rooms and extended families, aunts, uncles, parents, grandparents living really close together, we're beginning to isolate people largely in two places. One, in work, which is dominating our life sphere and seeping into every moment of our lives with the advent of the internet. And two, in family, which is becoming more and more siloed and individualized. And there's this growing and mounting pressure on parents to be perfect and to somehow be able to do it all. So in contrast, rich communities, extended communities, fabrics of communities are vital for our deep human satisfaction. And so this first point is the family as it looks today, in the version that we have today, which is really quite constricted. Quite simply, it isn't enough. To go further, I started to examine why the current and modern family is so weird. And one of the things I'll point you to is this episode by the Curiosity podcast called How the Best Marriages Work. In this episode, Dr. Finkel, who is being interviewed, says that we have this cultural memory of the 1950s as the advent of traditional relationships. And he shares the work of historian Stephanie Kuntz. So the name of her book is The Way We Never Were. He explains that it just so happens that television came of age right at this moment that captured and printed this idea of Leave It to Beaver as the traditional, typical family, at least in the Western world. And so today we're left with this visual history or, quote, memory that isn't accurate, but somehow we're all marching on as though we believe it. He goes on to explain that the pre-industrial revolution in the mid-1800s, people didn't go off to work. Like the husband leaving for work was a thing that didn't exist. And we had individual farmhouses as units of economic production, which is how people made ends meet. And everyone in the family, men and women, both contributed hugely to economic production. And it wasn't until we got to industrialization and specialization that you got these highly gendered social roles. And then boom. What we see is right at the height of these gender roles coming to life, which happened in the blink of a moment in history, then you have the invention of television. And the television comes along and captures it in print, in this visual memory, in this archive. And so today we're operating under this strange and weird collective memory that this is the way things have always been, when really, it's less than 100 years old, and it's a made-up story that happened to be captured on screen. So then the question is, if it's not working, if things are breaking, if we feel this undue amount of pressure, it might be because it actually doesn't work. And we need other things. We need extended networks, closer friendships, and richer communities. So point number two in this questioning and this philosophy is, what is the family, and is it working? So number three, I'll add to this idea I read in Courtney Martin's book. She wrote in her book, The New Better Off, and I'm paraphrasing and interpreting from memory here, but she talks about how wealth can actually weaken the ties of community. So think about this as an example. When you don't have enough money, say, to just buy things, if you don't have enough money and you live in a building, in a shared building with lots of different people in a city, for example, not having money actually forces you to ask your neighbor to watch your kid for an hour because you can't hire a babysitter. Or you need to borrow something and you don't have the luxury of, in the age of Amazon Prime, to just click a button and get what you need for $10 or $15. You actually have to knock on your neighbor's door and say, hey, can I borrow the drill? Can I borrow the box? Can I borrow the laundry hamper? Whatever it is that you're borrowing. In this age of instant purchasing, however, one of the side effects is that we can avoid the social discomfort and instead pay $10 or $15 just to buy the thing ourselves, have it delivered in a box straight to our front door, and never have any human interaction. But the consequence is an erosion of this social and community fabric. Ellen Langer from Harvard shares that people who are part of multiple different communities, diverse communities, are actually more resilient, have better immune systems, and are happier and healthier. And one last thing that I'll leave you with is this documentary, Happy, There's research on happiness that shows that people who are the happiest around the world live in community, and they are constantly supported by others. So this brings us to core value number two, and that is this. There is deep power in community and collaboration. And further, building this community infrastructure is going to require us to ask, well, what's working? Where is it breaking? And how do we design better systems going forward? As we take this value forward, the question for you, the person listening on the other side of this podcast, as you've heard each of these ideas, what's one way in your own life, in your own experience, what's one way in which you try to do it all yourself, or you think that you have to do it all yourself? And is there a way that you can ask for more help? How can you build in or prioritize small amounts of tolerable discomfort in the short term so that in the long term, you build up your bank of happiness because you're building up your bank of community infrastructure? Thanks for listening. I'd really love to know what you think about each of these values. So if you're over on our blog, we're asking people to chime in and participate. Send us a note or leave a comment with what you think. And then lastly, for all of you listening, if something in this resonated with you, if something in this really, really changed what you thought or opened up a new idea, I'd invite you to share this podcast with somebody you think might benefit from listening to it. Take a minute and send them an email or share it in a message, however you communicate with people best. Let them know that you thought this podcast was something they might enjoy listening to. Have a great day, and we'll see you on the next episode.
I want to tell you a couple of things that people have said about the Wise Women's Council. One of our members said, the business support is top-notch. On one of our calls, one person said, my mind is already blown and we're only 7 minutes in. Hillary said, Sarah, you are one of the best facilitators I have ever met. And Dana said, if you're somebody that regularly designs community or holds space for other people, here's a place where you don't have to, because Sarah has figured it all out for you and you can just be when you're in this space. Caroline said once on a call, she said, I'm normally one of those people that's thinking all the time about how you can facilitate something better. And Caroline said, I don't have to do that when I'm with you. Michelle said it's one of the only places she doesn't have to code switch between so many different identities. She doesn't have to hide being a mom. She doesn't have to hide being a business owner. She doesn't have to explain herself over and over again to different people and have them not understand her. If you are living at the intersection of parent, mom, business owner, leader, entrepreneur, facilitator, or you are running a company, come check out the Wise Women's Council. That's a place I made for you. It's what I needed when I first became a parent, and we've been running this program for 6 years. Head to startupparent.com/WWC to find out more about the Wise Women's Council and apply to join us today. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us today. It is a pleasure to be in conversation with you. You can find out more about everything we talked about and all of the show notes here on your podcast player, or you can head to our website, startupparent.com. I want to give another shout out to all of our amazing sponsors who help make this show possible. We are so grateful to get to work with you and partner with so many wonderful companies and organizations that are dedicated to making life better for entrepreneurs, female founders, and working parents. If you are interested in sponsoring the show and partnering with us, then head to startupparent.com/sponsor and you can send a note to our sponsorship team. Did you know that we have a new Substack and we have a secret podcast? Oh, yes, we do. Head to Startup Parent's Substack. The link is startupparent.substack.com. I'll put the link in the show notes. And check out our secret podcast. When you become a paid backer, when you upgrade your subscription and you join our community, you get lots of perks for being a community member. For our paid backers, I host a monthly private podcast where I dig into the nitty-gritty of business building and parenting and everything in between. Listeners and readers get to submit questions, then I pick one or two each month and we dive deep into it. In addition, for our paid backers, we host our Startup Parent Monthly Book Club. This is where we get to talk about interesting books with other smart and interesting and kind people, and I run Book Club a little bit differently. You can read the book if you have time, but chances are you don't always have time to read the book. So the way I host Book Club is that anyone can join whether or not you've read the book, because I give you a summary of it up at the beginning, and then I frame up four questions from the book that we can talk about, and you'll always be in rooms with other people that have read the book so we can share knowledge and wisdom. The purpose of Book Club is to have rich and interesting and insightful conversations, not to judge you on whether or not you had a chance to read a book. So our secret podcast and our private book club, those are just two of the perks that we offer for people who become community members. And that's not all. I love getting to say that phrase. That's not all. There are actually a lot of other perks, and I'm going to let you discover them when you go to our Substack. Last but not least, if you liked this episode, I would be grateful if you would leave us a review. It means a lot to the show, and it helps other people find us. So definitely leave a review. I read every single one of them, and I'm so grateful when I see your name in my inbox and when I see that people are leaving more reviews. So thank you for doing that. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here, and I will see you on the next episode.